Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Good morning, and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. We're thankful we're able to gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship him who bore our sins in his own body and for whom we wait, who will transform our lowly bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Wayne Pitts will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon. And beginning at 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the series on church history. At 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will continue the discipleship class on how to get the most from God's Word, a very worthwhile use of our time. In our 5 p.m. evening worship service, Pastor Otero will be teaching the series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the builder of the wall, from the book of Nehemiah. Please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, declares, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's continue our worship now with hymn number 230, Saved, Saved. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 470, Jesus is All the World to Me.
In prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And we pray for ourselves that as we have come to worship together, that each one of us may experience the love of Christ, the words of Christ, and the power of Christ in our own life. And perhaps through the reading of the scripture, to the praises of his name, and to listening to the description of God's power in the person of Christ, we may be able, of God, to leave this place with hope, with peace, with the joy that Jesus Christ himself is the one who will enable our life to walk closer to him and closer to one another. Father, we pray for those who cannot be here because of sickness. We remember Kay, Terry's mother, and we pray that you may comfort her, that she be sure that her life is in the hands of our mighty Savior, because if he is, then her life will continue forever, regardless here on earth and there in heaven. Father, we pray for ourselves that you enable our health to be able to carry on our bodies, our life, our mind with a good health so that we can serve the living God, the master of our life. We pray for our missionaries, the expanded church that we have around the world. And Father, we remember Fred and Carol Lewis. And Carol will have surgery this coming Tuesday, the 7th. And we pray for the success of that surgery. And we pray for Carol and Fred encouragement that they are back in their country under the safety hand of our medicine, but especially under the safety hand of the prayers of all those who are supporting that ministry. And Father, we pray again that you strengthen their bodies and mind as they're going to leave America soon and go into Siberia to teach in a seminary in Siberia. Thank you, Father, for the great challenge that they have ahead. Father, we pray for Carol and Ruth Knott as they are back in America. They are touring different churches, reporting their ministry, and then once completed, they will be back in Sevilla. Oh, Father, bless this couple. They are now with the whole family for the first time after 15 years in the mission field. Lord, we pray for Eusebio and Marisa Perez as they minister in the area of Spain, as they have the ambition to buy a new piece of land in downtown Benalmadena. Oh, Lord, I've been there. That's a very busy city with tourists on the Mediterranean. And we pray that this piece of land can be accomplished and purchased. And that our brother and the brethren in Spain may grow. The church have grown so much that they no longer can hold all the people in the building. And so, Father, we pray that the city will allow these people to be in downtown with a new property. Thank you, Father, for our brother's vision on the ministry. Father, we pray for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. There are two places, one in Morgan Hill, and the other in the city to follow, Gilroy. And we pray for the strength, for the supply of the money they needed, and also for the different things that they use in the counseling people and helping people to carry on life in spite of what happened to them. Lord, for Ruben and Irene Zagert in Lodi, I know today they will have a guest speaker and they expect a full house. And Lord, we pray that that Spanish ministry may grow. For Marta Parethi, in spite of the devaluation of the Argentine peso, 70%, Lord, now a gallon of gasoline, $7. Lord, we pray that you enable Marta to continue with Maria to go to the Alcoholic and Drug Addict Center, because you still have people for your name. And we thank you, Lord, that in spite of the chaotic situation, the people get killed every day. One policeman dies every day in Argentina. Lord, we pray that you will take hold of that country and that somewhere, somehow, the believers will make an impact in the country. And we pray for the protection of Martha and Maria. As every Wednesday, they drive to the center. Every Friday in their church, they have a ministry for ladies. Lord, we pray that Martha be protected. And Lord, we just, the last missionary we added was Daniel Lacey. As he finished his accomplished work in the Trasam and Long Beach, and now look forward into the East Coast with all the races. We pray, Lord, that as Danny is speaking chapel and minister to the car racers, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be able to save some of them and protect them. I'm reminded that each time they race, their life is in jeopardy. But Father, how well you have equipped Danny with the gift to race cars, and now with the gift to talk to these people and bring them into the kingdom of God. Lord, he launched all of these in faith, having no one penny of salary from anybody. And so we pray, Lord, that the supply will be abundant so that he may be encouraged to continue to teach others about this great ministry, the gospel of Jesus, who saved lives, who keep us alive, and who will prolong our life forever in the presence of the mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for our church and for the ministry you have called us to do, to speak the word of God with clarity and simplicity to the people that come into our church, a refuge in the midst of the Silicon Valley. And Father, for those who are listening in the internet across the world and across America, that your hand of mercy be upon them. Lord, we also pray for those who are listening over KKMC, KKHX in Chico. And we pray, Lord, that these people become part of the family of God here at Bethel Baptist Church. We want them to know that here is a home church. And here is a church that loves. Here is a church that cares. Here is a church that preaches the word without being ashamed. Because the church of the living God is living and alive and projecting across the world until Jesus Christ come, as the word of God said. Bless us now as we fellowship. And Lord, we need money to provide for our ministry. And we pray that your people will respond again today and provide so that our ministry can be carried on. Thank you, Lord, for the past provisions, and thank you for what you're going to do in the future. So bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking here at Bethel Baptist Church. At this moment, we are at the offertory, and I take this minute and a half, to let you know that here we have a church to serve the community here in the Morgan Hill area in the south section of the Silicon Valley. We are here to tell you that we love you. We're here to tell you that if you have a need, call the church office, 408-778-2595. The church office will record your need, and I quickly will pick up whatever information you leave and call you and share with you the great hope that we have under God. This is an opportunity to serve our community and to serve those who listen over KKMC, KKXX, and over the internet. We are here to serve, and we want to be in touch with you. So please, get the phone and call us. Even if you need a study material, if you need a counsel about some personal matters, we will keep your counsel private, and we will make the best in showing God's way out of whatever circumstances you are. May God richly bless you. May God richly touch your life. May God enhance the presence of Christ in your life so that you can have the love and the joy of Jesus in your life. Now let's join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of Paul the Apostle, to the Ephesians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 676. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Holy Father, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins and for accepting us in him, so that we may come into your presence again now and always because of his obedience. We pray that our overriding desire may also be to please you. And as we consider this scripture today, we are grateful that we have this memorial to recall Jesus' death on our behalf and are being members of his body through faith in the pledge of his future return. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to expose your word, that you would bless his teaching so that it would go out with power and give us understanding and wisdom. If there are any listening who do not know you, we pray, Father, that you would use pastor's preaching to draw them to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
I would like you to turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a very important chapter. As you know, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are books of instruction for the church of the living God, and especially for the local church, and how to conduct themselves into the house of God. 1 Corinthians 11 is a chapter that relates to the specific instruction in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10 tells you certain observations about the Lord's Supper and certain things the church at Corinth were doing wrong at the Lord's Supper. And so the Lord provides this information for our rule of conduct and how to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to call your attention again to that word remembrance that you see it twice in verse 24 and in verse 25. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and when Jesus, and Paul recalling what Jesus did, he said, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, it is the bread, and said, Take it, this is my body. He took the bread, the piece of bread that was on the table, and he made that bread a projection of his body. He said, This is my body, which is broken for you. These do in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of Jesus. Remember me. And then verse 25 said, At the same manner also he took the cup, and he has supped, said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. See, the Old Testament was the blood of the Lamb. Now that's why he said, This is the New Testament. We don't use a lamb in my blood. These do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And verse 26 tell you the specific instruction of time. Till when we have to do that. He said, and as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. And then he said the timing, till I come. And so the Lord's Supper is a celebration of Jesus in remembrance of Jesus. And you can go on and on and on and on all over the Bible to remember Jesus. And we need to do the Lord's Supper till he comes. That's the instruction. Till he comes. Not before he comes, but till he comes. And we know Jesus is going to come only one time more. And he's going to come for his people and take it to heaven. Well, this morning I'd like for your encouragement and my encouragement to remember Jesus. And I want to remember the I wills of Jesus. When he says, I will. And I hope this clock is not my enemy, because I have a lot of them from the moment of salvation to the moment of glory. And I hope you're quick in your Bible to look for the reference. Let me highlight seven I wills of Jesus. Seven I wills that Jesus said. I will. And you know, Jesus is God. And when Jesus said, I will. Do you watch that show, The Bachelor? You know, there were about 23 girls want to marry this millionaire. And I don't know how many letters I already sent to these people, because that's a very dishonoring man, that show. Dishonoring man. The man is not fulfilling his word. If you tell one girl, I marry you, you better marry that person. If you don't, I'm glad the lady did not marry you. If you promise something to a lady and you don't fulfill, you're never going to fulfill anything in your life. But this girl promised a girl before the ending of the show, I will marry you. And then during the show, he married somebody else. And that's mankind for you. Completely empty of commitment. But that's not Jesus. I mentioned that because when Jesus said, I will, he will. He's God. All right? So let's get this. The first I will that I notice is in the Gospel of John in chapter 6 and in verse 37, page 626, if your Bible is like mine. John 6:37, and this I will call the I will of salvation. The I will of salvation. John 6 and verse 37. The I will of salvation. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, look at what Jesus said, I will not in no wise cast out. That's the will of salvation. You come to Jesus for salvation, and he will not cast you out. That's what he said. You come to Jesus for salvation. You don't have to wait in line. You come to Jesus for salvation, and he says, I will not cast you out. The I will of salvation. Now, why? If you turn your Bible one book before John, Luke chapter 19, and verse 10, that is page 615, Luke 19 and verse 10, the Bible tells you why Jesus will not cast you out, neither delay your requests. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you come to Jesus with pride, and you come to Jesus trying to prove that he is not Jesus or he is not God, and you need no Jesus, you will not be saved. But if you come to Jesus and say, save me, Lord, I'm lost. I will cast you out, said Jesus. I will not cast you out. So thank God that he's willing to save. And if you are not saved today, it is not because of Jesus, it is because of you. You have not come to Jesus with the whole heart and a humble humility and said, Lord, I'm lost. I know if I die, I'm going to hell. I need you to save me from hell. And if you say that and believe in him, you will be saved. I will not cast you out. Period. Don't have to wait a second. So in fact, there is a chapter in the Bible where the man say that, and 1 second later, Jesus said, that man went home justified. The I will of salvation. That's where life all started, you know. The I will of salvation. The second I will, I found it in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13. I call the I will of cleansing. The I will of cleansing. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 12 and verse 13. All right. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, look at what the man says. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Is that humbleness? He did not say, Lord, pray for medicine, this leprosy, which is a disease where, remember the law in Leviticus? If you had leprosy, you have to be cast out. There was a king who reigned for 52 years. And the name was Uzziah, and Isaiah was in his court. He was with leprosy, and the Bible referred to us that he never used the king house. He has to be in a house apart, but his son Josaphat and Isaiah run the country for 52 years. It was a beautiful, marvelous king who loved the Lord, but he has leprosy. And if you have leprosy, you have to be cast out. And this man with leprosy said, Lord, if you will, no, if you can. I said, why the man did not say, Lord, if you can? He already believed in the Lord. You see that? But he doesn't know if the Lord will or not. And so he said, Lord, if you will, you say, I be clean, and I be clean. Let's look in verse 13 and see what happened. And he put forth his hand. You know, now that we have in TV so much about Ramallah, my grandmother's home. I told somebody, you know, all these words just for me. I know I never can be in Ramallah. Maybe I don't have the money to go. But I dream to see my grandma's home. How she told me she walked in those cities. And by the mercy of God, remains almost like grandma told me. And as I look on it, I can see in one of the street, Jesus is stretching his hand and touch him and say, I will, said Jesus, be thou clean. And look at what the Bible said. And 10 hours later, 40 hours later, 2 years later, immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know that if we go through the Bible, we find that leprosy is a picture of the sin nature of our life. No man found the cure, even today. They found a way to make your life with leprosy a little less painful, but no cure. No man can find a cure for sin. Oh, we found religion. And religion can make your life just a little better, but no cure. No cure. But if you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I have some sin in my life that really disturbs me, cleanse me from those sins, he will. He will. And you have the right to say, if you will, like this man did. No, if you can, don't put any argument, don't put any excuses. Say, Lord, there are some sins in my life that really bother me, whatever they are. And if you will, cleanse me. And he will cleanse you. So there is no justification for living in sin. The I will of cleansing.
We can live a holy life. Remember, Peter said, "Be thou holy because I am holy." And we see that that is a mountain of problems, our thoughts, our own lifestyle. But if we humble ourselves and we remember that Jesus can, we can go to him and say, "Lord, it's me in confession, it's me, my social security number, blah, 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 so that nobody like you." And then the Lord said, "Lord, if thou will, cleanse me." But you know, sometimes we love sin so much that we don't go to him and say, "Cleanse us. I will save you. I will cleanse you." And then the "I will" of confession. It's in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, page 567. Matthew 10 and verse 32, the "I will" of confession. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking, of course, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men." We call it in America testimony. Or in English. "Whosoever shall confess me before men," look at what Jesus will do. "Him," now look at Jesus, "will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You got it? The "I will" of confession. If you confess to men that you belong to Christ, I will pick you up and confess you in heaven. And that means you really, really saved. Wow. Woo. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 15. Page 719. 719. 1 John 4. And verse 15. John said these words. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him." Wow! If you confess that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, God dwells in you. And if you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, page 666, Romans 10 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul gave us a clue of what Jesus said. If you confess me before men, I will confess you in heaven. We read in Romans 10 and in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, thou could be saved, but thou shalt be saved. Woo! Some people say, "I don't need to confess." Well, God, Christ, will that one day will say, "Well, I don't need to confess you either." See, that's what you need to confess, Christ. The Bible said you need to confess Christ. You need to say to the church of God, to your brothers and sisters one day in your lifetime, to say, "I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a believer in Christ." You need to confess Christ. You would call it a testimony. The "I will" of confession. God is going to confess you. God's going to, Christ is going to tell the Father that he is in you and therefore you are saved. But there is the "I will" of confession. And then if you are in Matthew, go to Matthew 4 and verse 19. The number 4 is the "I will" of service. Remembering Christ. The "I will" of salvation. The "I will" of cleansing. The "I will" of confession. And then the "I will" of service. Matthew 4 and verse 19. "And he, Jesus, said unto them, follow me," follow Jesus, and look at what he says, "and I will make you fishers of men." You got it? "And I will make you fishers of men." You follow Jesus. You follow Jesus. You know, I've been reading the Bible. Soon I will have the time of my life. The time of my life. I will have time. I've been working 14 hours for 29 years every day. 15 hours, 16 hours. Sometimes I go around the clock. And I'm trying to find out what I'm going to do with those. Is working 8 hours a day, I will have so much left over. Maybe I can do 2 hours in the gym and the rest, what am I going to do? So I start reading the scripture. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Just flash one text to my life, will you? Because I can only sleep 8 hours. That's too much. You know, 4 or 5 hours, that will be enough. And I start moving in the bed, and my wife said, get out. You know, not get out. Now, I read Matthew again, over and over. And I get Matthew 28. And in verse 19, it said, go and make disciples. But the first word, I never pay attention to it. I pay attention to make disciples. If you come to this church and you follow all the meetings of this church, you really are a college graduate in theology. I have 13 pages for you at 4 o'clock on the word on one word, inspiration for you. We have a page full of scriptures on catechism, on certain words here on Wednesday night. I tell you, I can make you a disciple strong. But, you know, doesn't say make disciples, say go. And I said, oh, I got it, Lord. I got it. Go. Go. And so the city will see me over and over. You know, I have 6-7 hours to visit people around, knocking doors. I'm just driving around the neighborhood. Which one neighborhood I will hit first? And go. Look at Matthew 4:19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if you combine that verse with 2 Corinthians 5:20, which is page 681, 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible really gives you an idea what it is to be a fishers of men. Paul makes this conclusion. Now then, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, he says, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors of God. And so the I will of service. We are ambassadors of Christ. And we are ambassadors not for the argument's sake of Christ, but to reconcile people to Christ. You say that? To bring people to a reconciliation with God. We are ambassadors to preach Christ, to bring people to Christ. You know, with this junk of what happened in the Roman Catholic Church today with so many things, people are talking, and I tell them, what about you? Are you so pure that you can talk so freely about this priest or about this cardinal or bishop? Are you without sin to judge others? I said, well, you know what happened. I don't care what happened. Check Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Before you put a finger in somebody, watch out, because there is a big beam in your eyes. I think what happened in history today is to call our attention to check our life more carefully. That's all. I feel sorry for somebody falling in sin in that manner. We are ambassador, the I will of service. Let the ambassador for Christ, but that representation of Christ is not for the sake of an argument, it's for the sake of reconciling people to God, bringing the gospel. Number five, the I will of comfort. John 14 and verse 8. The I will of comfort. John 14, excuse me, verse 18. John 14 and verse 18, page 633. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. You know, in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, Jesus started saying, I have to go. And I remember when Miriam was 15 and 16, like Candace is now and Amy, and they had to go from home to a college. You know, for them it's a wonder experience, but for Papa and Mama it's a piece of heart that goes with it. As a matter of fact, the first 7 days of Miriam College, Mama was there. The next 7 days, I was there. And the University of California. And I was there seating. See what they say. See who's watching my daughter, you know? When Danny married Miriam, the pastor that married Miriam, took a second out of the ceremony and said, "What happened to you, Pastor Otero, that this man marry your daughter?" They knew. Well, that's what the father is for, will you? Yeah, that's what the father is for. Jesus, "I will not leave you comfortless." And the disciples are with him. Jesus is going to leave? Who's going to help us? He said, I will come to you. And thank God that he did. And look at in Hebrews now. Go to Hebrews 1 in page 704. And look at where Jesus is today. In Hebrews 1 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "God, who has sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets," look at verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son," who is Jesus, "the appointed heir of all things, by whom he also he made the worlds." And look at verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory." And some people say Jesus is no God. "Who bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he," what? "Had by himself purged all our sin, sat down at the right hand of God." That's what Jesus is. See, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He's in heaven at the right hand of God. What he's doing over there? Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 34, and you will know what Jesus is doing over there. Romans 8, verse 34, at page 666 again. The Bible says in Romans 8 and in verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is arise again, who is even at the right hand of God," the Bible say it again, "who also maketh intercession for us." The I will of comfort. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And if you are a believer, you can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. You can say, "Heavenly Father, is me," and the Savior makes intercession for us. So much that sometimes we do not pray and we get great blessings. It is because Jesus is praying for us. And sometimes when we pray so wrong. And he's making the corrections. It's like the computer, I tell people. You know, you have programs today. My English is perfect. You type it, you push a button, change all the words. I have a program that you type and correct yourself. I have a program with a question mark. Do you want a verb in this way? Or you want a verb in the other way? I have a program now that translates into other languages, and they tell you what it is. And that's what Jesus is doing. You can pray in Farsi, you can pray in Spanish, you can pray in English, and he's making all the adjustments and come perfect in the presence of God. Oh, wow. It's not that comfort. People have no place to go. I got calls after calls. People said, "We have no place to go." Yes, you have. Jesus. Doesn't matter what language you speak, he'll listen to you. He corrects your petition and you get the right answer. I will not leave you comfortless. The I will of comfort. Then there is the I will of the resurrection. You know, this is John 6. The I will of the resurrection. John chapter 6. And let's start with verse 39 and 40. The I will of the resurrection. Look at what the Bible said. And this is, it's page 626, John chapter 6. In verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all, that of all which had given me, I should lose nothing, he said, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. And look at what Jesus said. And I will raise him up when? On the last day. There is a last day to this world. Your beautiful Cadillac will go away. Your beautiful Volkswagen will go away. Everything we treasure so much in this world will go away. There is one thing that will not go away, is our salvation. We will be glorified. Because what? Because Jesus says, I will. Look in verse 44, same chapter. No man come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up on the last day. You know, if it was for my own heart, I will never come to Christ. But how wonderful the Bible said, the Father sent. You see that? One day the Father said, move against your will. Move. And you get a girlfriend who was a Christian, or get a tract who talk about the Lord, or somebody invites you to the church, and you, what we say, you got saved. The reason is the Father sent to you, and Jesus said, and I will raise you up on the last day. Yes, I will. Look at again in John 6 and verse 54. It's amazing, John 6. Whose eateth my flesh, said Jesus, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day, or at the last day. Is that clear? Over and over. And you go to John 11 and again and again and again. I will raise you up on the last day. This is the I will of the resurrection. I will raise you up on the last day. There will be a day, a mysterious day, when those who are dead for 10, 12, 15,000 years and the word believers will be raised up. You will say, no, even the powder is on this earth. I know, but the soul is in the presence of God. And he brings them back. You know, I want to thank the Lord that it doesn't end here. Looks good, no? The resurrection is a good ending. No, no, there is one more I will. Not only God said, I will save you, I will cleanse you, I will confess your name. I will call you to service. I will comfort. I will resurrect you. You think I got it all. No, there is one more I will. The I will of glory. I will glorify you. Look at in John 17 and the prayer of the Lord. John 17 and verse 24. I will glorify you. Not only I will resurrect you and bring you into the presence of God, I will glorify you. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I will, said Jesus, that they also who thou hast given me be with me here in glory, right here with me. I will, Father, that they will be glorified. Paul picks the idea, and he explained like a baby, step by step. Turn your Bible to Romans 8, and look in verse 29 and in verse 30. Paul gets the message, God will glorify my body. God will not leave me just resurrected to sleep in heaven and sleeping back. No, God will glorify my body. Look at the steps, Romans in chapter 8, and in verse 29, page 666 in your Bible. For whom he foreknew, in other words, God knew your name before you have a name, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And look at verse 30. This is salvation stuff. Look at. Moreover, whom he did predestine, He also called. God had your name before you got a name. Then at one time in life, he calls in the Bible. And whom he called, what did he say? He also justified. He called you not to make a shame of you and say, look, Father, this guy cannot be saved by himself. Look at what shame. Go. No. He called you and said, Father, I justify this person. And whom he justified, what did he say? He also glorified. Wow. The I wills of Jesus. I want to say with all my heart, Jesus, we will remember you this morning. We will remember you. You has given us that bread. You has given us that wine so that we remember that you were a real person, a real Savior, and you has given us all your power so that one day, we're going to walk in heaven, not with false teeth or implants, but with the implant of salvation. The implant of God. And we will be just like he is. And made me cry. A sinner like me. Just like my Savior. Oh, what a glorious. What a glorious Jesus we have. I hope that as we partake of the Lord's Supper today. You will say, yes, I will remember my Savior. Father, bless us. Bless us in a way that we partake of this Lord's Supper as we never did before. Remembering the one who knew our name before we got a name. The one who glorified our body in spite of our sins. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only he can fashion your heart to move as he. Sure. that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. The empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endured until tomorrow, your cross of suffering.
And Mike, deacons to come and serve the Lord's Supper this morning. If you're a guest this morning with us, we encourage you to participate if you are a Christian, if you are one who do have, the deacons may be seated, please. If you are the one who Christ is in your heart, and you know it, only you can know if Christ is in your heart, that you don't have to be a member of this local church to participate. There is no such a thing in the Bible and the Scripture that limited the participation to members of a local church, but limited the participation to believers only. And so, if you're a believer, please join with us the remembrance of Christ. The bread is going to be served to you, and then later on to the pastor, and when the pastor partakes, we all partake together, and the same with the fruit of the vine. The Bible says in Matthew 26:26, that as the disciples were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and said, give it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And I say it, I don't know how many times, but I say it again. These have not become the body of Christ. Remain a cracker, but represent the body of Christ. See, I cannot give you Christ. You heard the scripture? If my Father sent you, you hear over and over, and John says, if my Father sent you to me, in no way I will cast out. Now, I can point to you, Jesus, but the one who sent you is the Father. So I'm not giving you Jesus. I'm giving you a symbol that remember the Lord Jesus. The deacons may stand. Brother Victor, will you thank the Lord for this?
Dear Lord, we just do thank you, Lord, for Jesus and for his work on the cross, Lord. Because of him, all sin is taken away, Lord. And we are cleansed and we are justified, we are glorified, we are made righteous, Lord. As we partake of these crackers, Lord, may we just remember, Lord, you did this work because of your love and grace for us. And we do thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.